With Lily Frost today, and you are a Canadian independent singer-songwriter, and we welcome you, Lily, to CJMQ today.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And it's very exciting. You're going to be coming to Centennial Theatre here on the campus of Bishops on September 19th, I believe, at 8 p.m.
Yeah, that's, I'm really excited about it. I've never been there before. I remember going to Bishops to visit a friend years back when I used to go to Concordia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing campus and really fun time. So I'm excited to come back and play a show. I'm not sure what the venue's like. I think it's a bit of a theater. Is that right?
Yes, it's Centennial Theater. It's been newly renovated, so it should be quite good.
Yeah.
That's great. That's exciting. It's the 40th anniversary, too, of the Centennial Theatre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, Lily, you've had quite an interesting life as far as music goes from what I've been reading about your biography.
Yeah.
And this is your fourth album. You're going to be concentrating on that for your show, Ciné Magique.
Yeah, this is the fourth solo record that I've put out. And before that, I had been in singing in other bands, and I have released other records, so I probably put out 8 or 9 total since I started doing music about 18 years ago.
Okay.
So, Ciné Magique is my first attempt at doing a record that's really, really stripped down.
Okay.
And minimalistic. So, I always wanted to do a record that was basically just guitar and voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of essential idea, and then there are just touches of sort of dynamics to bring out particular sections. So we have a string section that we're bringing to the show.
Okay.
That I've been touring with for the past year.
Okay.
It's a string trio, so it's cello, viola, and violin.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband's playing lead guitar, sort of like in an atmospheric sort of soundscape-y style.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing guitar and singing, and we have a woman who sings backup vocals who's operatically trained, and she's just got a really nice high voice. So
oh, that sounds really exciting.
Six of us, yeah.
Yeah. And your husband actually helped you to produce this last album?
He did, yeah. We actually did it at home.
Wow.
Yeah, he produced it, and he's been working with a lot of indie bands, like the Bicycles and the Mellow Grove Band out of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure if it was a good idea to work with him at first, but then I realized he knows me better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the type of producer who doesn't need to put his mark on it, which is something that a lot of producers do. They just have the formula, and then they run you through their procedures, and you end up sounding like the other bands that have been recorded by them.
Okay.
So he's more focused on bringing out what the essence of the artist is and really listening and enabling that.
Mm-hmm. So you feel as if this is your fourth album, this is the real you coming out, the real essence of your talent?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with people who often try to hold my voice back, like they're telling me to not let it out as much and just sort of restrain yourself, which sounds weird, but I've come across it a lot of times.
Okay.
And he was the opposite of that. He said, just, you know, this is your moment to shine, so let it all out and whatever you need to do to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very liberating.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You've recorded some songs in some bizarre ways, I guess I could say. In Tahiti, I read that you were wearing gloves and sandals there to protect you.
Oh, in Tahiti, I went there because I had an old friend from a band in Montreal who was living there with his new wife, and so I went to visit, and he had bit by bit shipped out pieces of a studio so that he could eventually just have a full-on studio, like kind of like Bob Rock or something, except way more indie.
Mm-hmm.
So the grounding procedures, like because you have to ground any electrical gear, he just ran a cable out the window and stuck it into a hole he dug in the ground and put a rock on it.
Wow.
So it was very makeshift, and I mean, the reason we wore rubber gloves and rubber shoes is so we wouldn't get electrocuted. It's really stupid, but it worked.
Ah, that's great. It's a lot of fun.
Because you're saying, okay, you go touch that knob. And I'm like, no, you go touch that knob.
How would you describe your music to our listeners?
Well, it's quite dynamic. It's very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's cinematic. It's minimalist. The reason I called it Cinemagique is because it draws from the magic realist tradition, like the South American sort of style of writing of this, someone like Isabel Allende in House of Spirits, where it's psychic or clairvoyance and visions and dreams mixed in with surrealism and fantasy, and but, you know, rooted in some sense of reality. So
mm-hmm.
it's this amalgamation of kind of, like, I'm just a small town girl, but I have a big imagination, so
mm-hmm.
a lot of my stuff is either based on pieces of reality and then morphed into one sort of ultimate idea,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Or just something that I totally imagined, so...
Okay, and I also read that you were actually with somebody else. They said that you were responsible for starting the pop lounge type of music out on the West Coast.
Well, I went to school I went to university in Montreal, and a bunch of us moved out west together. So I moved with a mod group called the Minstrels, and out west, since I had studied jazz and they had been doing garage rock, we merged the two together and we started a band called Colorific, which was based on sort of the style of Combustible Edison, which is, you know, kind of poppy and jazzy and kitschy and loungy and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So we were writing our own songs, and we started by busking on the street, actually, just for fun and in front of the movie theater lineups on the cheap Tuesday nights, and
mm-hmm.
and then slowly started playing cafes and galleries and clubs until we were, you know, filling up pretty sizable clubs, like maybe 500 people clubs up and down the West Coast, like down to L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, and back.
Okay, that's great. And you were picked up by the record label in Toronto?
Aperia is a label out of Toronto, yeah.
Okay.
And they're very small, kind of like a real family feeling. They came to one of my shows in Toronto when I first moved here, and we were interested in each other, working with each other right away. So
mm-hmm.
at our first meeting, there was a contract proposed, and we just went ahead with it, and everything seems to be just very straightforward and up on the table, and it's very refreshing to work with them after being part of major labels and stuff in the past that were a little bit more elusive, and as an artist you just never know what's going on or why, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's a mystery. So
okay.
with these guys, it's very sort of honest, and I can just say, you know, I have to go to New York, I can't afford to go, can you shoot me $200? They're, okay, no problem, sort of like, thanks, Dad. You know, they're like that.
That's great. A lot of your songs have actually been picked up by some interesting series, too. Let's see, you had Enchantment. That was on the third season of Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was also used by the Bay Department Stores in 2007.
Yeah, some of the songs recently have been picked up. There's a division at my record company that specializes placing songs. And we've been doing some more showcases in that department. Like, my songs are pretty inspired by foreign film and retro film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm inspired by that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm sort of dried up for inspiration, I'll go to the Cinematheque and I'll just, whatever's on, I'll just go watch it. And usually I come away with some sort of line or idea or
mm-hmm.
musical phrase. So they've found their way back into some movies, some TV, some commercials, which is sort of a natural progression. I would say that, you know, it's moving more and more closely toward a proper sync-up, do you know what I mean? Like, the,
mm-hmm.
the songs haven't met their match, I think,
mm-hmm.
in a visual sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
my ideal movie to be in would be something more like along the lines of Almodovar or Jim Jarmusch or Hal Ashby or Wim Wenders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still waiting for something a little bit more appropriate to happen, where I would maybe have paid to go to that movie anyway, and then my song is there. So
mm-hmm.
we'll see. It hasn't happened yet.
That's great. So some of your influences are foreign films. Is there any particular artist or group that's also influenced you along the way?
Oh, musically speaking, oh, definitely. I mean, mm-hmm. I have a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm really interested in French 60s music. I love Serge Gainsbourg and François Hardy, and I love Carla Bruni, Karen Ann. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of Tom Waits, which sounds crazy because he's amazing, until I saw his live show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was blown away. I had no idea that he was such a ham. I thought he was like a serious old sort of drunk guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
he's actually really drawing from Charlie Chaplin and Louis Armstrong, and he's just a beautiful performer, and so his show inspires me a lot live.
Oh, that's great. I have a website. It's www.lilyfrost.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that's easy. Any particular song on the latest CD that you're more fond of than the others?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, in a more moody sense, I really like Secret.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Enchantment. You know what? I really like the record. Like, I feel really good about it. And so, yeah, I also like I Called You.
Mm-hmm.
I Called You and Secret. They're probably my favorites. But, yeah, how many are you choosing to play?
I think we have 3 or 4 right now on the playlist. But, that can change, too. We change them around and, yeah.
Maybe Pachamama as well.
Okay.
Because it's, I mean, the thing that's interesting also about the record is that it's got some French, some Spanish, and mostly English.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband is from Chile,
mm-hmm.
and he's in a band called By Divine Right, and we met in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I was writing all these songs about love and trying to find true love and longing for the man and do-do-do, and I was singing in Spanish for a few of the songs on my previous record, Situation.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met Jose, it was completely destiny. He and I had both been signed to Network Records. He and I both had a song called Who Am I? We both had a song called The Pearl. We both knew the same song on the piano, this classical Mozart piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like that, the Spanish song, Out of Blue, it's called, on Situation, was written for him because it was in Spanish and he's Chilean, so he speaks Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that we're working together and writing together and we're married and we have a little baby,
mm-hmm.
everything just seems to be right on track. So it's really, really nice. I'm looking forward to the next record.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Okay, you sing in French, too, as well as English. Do you sing in Spanish, do you?
Yes, just
okay.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's one song called You've Shaken Every Part of Me,
mm-hmm.
the first song where there's a little bit of Spanish. It was actually Jose who wrote the Spanish lyrics.
Okay.
He said he felt like he had been channeling Chet Baker that night. He didn't know why, but he had just started singing like Chet Baker, and he couldn't stop, and that song came out of him. And he played it for me, and he usually plays rock, and I said, oh, my God, that song's so gorgeous. I'd love to sing it. So I sang it, and it wasn't completed, and we
mm-hmm.
were having a little dispute at one point, and I had sung a message to him over his cell phone while he was on tour in Montreal, and we ended up using that cell phone message as the bridge of that song, You've Shaken Every Part of Me.
Mm-hmm.
So that became his final song. So it's interesting how songs come together, like some, you know.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you on the 19th at Centennial Theatre. Much, Lily.
Thank you, too.
And looking forward to seeing you on the 19th. Are you based in still Vancouver or Toronto?
No, I've been living in Toronto now for 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm from here originally.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for this interview, and it was really nice to talk to you, and looking forward to seeing you on the campus of Bishops.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
And now we're going to hear a song by the Canadian artist Lily Frost from her CD, Ciné Magique, and we're going to hear the song, Secrets.
You spilled your shame my chest. You feel relieved, I feel exhaust, and I can't tell a soul. Years gone by, I've been tongue-tied. I've lent my ears to quell your fears. The truth is known to no one. We know less and less, and time will increase it. And how do I keep all these secrets you didn't ask? If I would like to have the burden of your torrid past, you didn't care how it would affect me. Changed my world, the paradigm was shifted. Now it makes me think the truth is few and far between what's really seen and subtle.